Chapter 4, in which, through antique technology, a voice speaks across the years. "I say," says young Alan Bailey, raising himself on one elbow, "I say, you chaps, guess what I've found?" "Come on, you rotter," cried Midwood of the Remove. "We're going to be late for interpretative dancing." Now, I can't keep this up. What it is that Alan Bailey was formerly a sound engineer with Radio Luxembourg, Fab 208 to some of us, and during the war, when the Grand Duchy was occupied by Axis forces, the station was compelled to broadcast Nazi propaganda. These broadcasts were pre-recorded onto discs. Alan discovered some of these records, several of which featured messages recorded by British prisoners. Here is an extract from one of those discs.
"Now the next message is to a village in Cornwall, to Lou, L-O-O-E, and it is for Mrs. Fulthorpe, the wife of James Fulthorpe, who lives at 27 Woodland View. And here is James Fulthorpe himself to send her his greetings.
Hello, darling. This is your husband, Jimmy, speaking. I just wanted you to know I'm fine, very fit. Give my love to my little boy, Carlton. Tell him to look after his mummy while his daddy's away. Well, that's just about all I can say, but keep your chin up. Let's hope the war's soon over.
How old is your
boy? My boy is four and a half.
Fine little chap, I must be going to school soon.
Yes, well, he's just started school now.
He has. And what is your profession, civil life?
Well, I was an apprentice marine engineer.
I see. And then you were on the most dangerous job there is, submarine work. Were you injured when you had to come up?
No, I was quite all right.
That was the message from James Fulthorpe. And here, I think, is James Fulthorpe again, just to say goodbye and have the last word in terms.
Well, goodbye, Phyllis. Don't worry, now. Everything's grand. The people here are just like our people. And beautiful fresh air, something I've never seen for a long time. Goodbye, darling.
The prisoner sending that message was James Fulthorpe of Lou in Cornwall, as you might have been able to hear. He had been captured in 1943 when his submarine had been depth-charged by an Italian warship in the Straits of Messina in the Mediterranean. The 40-man crew had escaped, but the sailors were then machine-gunned by German aircraft. Although one man was killed, the rest of the crew was captured, and James spent the remainder of the war as a prisoner of war. His son, Carlton, who is mentioned in the recording, now lives in Haywards Heath, and he came into our Brighton studio recently while the disc finder, Alan, joined us from Nottingham. I began by asking Alan exactly how he had come by the disc.
Well, for many years I worked at Radio Luxembourg, and on the fourth floor, our record library, mainly there were 78s, and they were shellac and weighed very, very heavy, and the floor used to sag. So we used to get rid of them by smashing them, skip them, do whatever to get rid of them. Yeah, well, what I used to do was go through these records to see if I could add anything to my own collection. And I came across these five German recordings, and I recognised the insignia on them, swastika, and I thought, oh, these look fascinating. So I had a listen to them, and among all these gems was this little interview with James Fulthorpe, and I thought, oh, he's talking about his four and a half year old son. It'd be wonderful if I could get that to him. And that started my quest, so to speak.
And were they all the same sort of thing, essentially propaganda broadcasts?
Yeah. And quite a lot of them were in German. Some of them were in English, presumably English collaborators working for the Germans who had very impeccable BBC rounded tones.
Well, they're very strange, rather high-pitched voices.
Yeah, the most strangest thing about hearing these, though, is that they're talking about the enemy was repelled today, which, of course, we were the enemy.
Yes.
You know, English people talking about the enemy.
Yeah,
it's
very
strange.
Did you spend much time trying to trace Carlton at this stage?
Would you believe 30 years? When I got these was probably in the early 60s, and although it gave an address on the record, I didn't want to get in touch with it because 30 years ago that was still quite new then, and I thought they'd probably show what nice guys they were to do an interview and then put a bullet in his head.
Yes.
So I didn't want to open up old wounds.
How did you finally make contact with
Carlton? Well, eventually I thought, well, enough years have gone by now. What I'll do, hell, I'll send a letter to the address that was given on the recording, which I did, and sort of nothing happened for a while. Then all of a sudden I got a letter back from James Fulthorpe's sister-in-law, Jane Berry, in Lou in Cornwall. And from then, everything just snowballed. I went onto the electoral roll, looking for Carlton Fulthorpe, and surprise, surprise, he was the only one in the country. So then I sent a letter to Carlton, who prefers to be called Carl, saying, "Dear Mr. Fulthorpe, if your father was a submariner in World War II and was prisoner of war, and you lived in Woodlands Drive, Lou in Cornwall, would you please get in touch with me? I have some information concerning your late father.
OK, well, let's cut quickly to Carlton then. What was your reaction when you got this note, Carlton?
Well, obviously, it was very, very surprising. I was a little dubious at first, of course. You get various things through the post these days.
You do indeed. You have to be on your guard.
Yes, but I very quickly returned by phoning Alan. Mm. I was probably a little guarded initially.
Yes.
Alan was obviously a very nice fella, and he put me very quickly at rest. We discussed things, and over a period of time, through contact, he's pieced a lot more of the story of my father together.
Well, had you ever heard the recording before he got in touch?
Oh, no, I didn't even know of its existence.
So what was your response when you heard it? You must have been quite moved, I'd have thought.
Yes, I was very moved to hear my father's voice. Mm. My father, at that point in time, when that recording was made, would have been, I calculate, probably his late 20s. So, yes. And bear in mind, I didn't see him until a few years after that when he was released. So I was listening to my father's voice, but the voice of a father I hadn't heard.
And had your mother, do you know, heard the message when it was originally broadcast?
As far as I know, and from my own recollection, I don't think my mother heard that recording.
And your father, did he talk to you much about the war?
Yeah, he was probably like a lot of people after the war. They didn't want to talk too much
about it. My dad didn't.
No. I was curious, though, very curious. I've maintained a massive interest in the war in itself. I do recall asking my father about the war. He would tell me, but he always considered he was treated very well. Whether he was holding back, I don't know. He was very cute, my dad. He would not have trusted those Nazis in any way.
I'm sure he would have realised that it was part of a kind of low-level propaganda exercise.
Yeah, he might have also considered, well, they're saying this is going to go over the air to Lou in Cornwall. How do I know this? Are they pulling my leg? Is it really live radio?
So it must have been good for you, Alan, when you finally tracked down James Fulthorpe's son.
I just cannot tell you how elated I was. I really couldn't believe it. I was so emotional, and Carl, by his own admittance, is not a very emotional person, but when I found him, it was like finding a long-lost brother. Because these ghosts that have haunted me for the last 30 years suddenly became flesh and bone, real people. And that was the most wonderful thing of the whole lot.
Alan Bailey and Carl Fulthorpe. Last weekend, I went to a record fair in the Cambridgeshire village of Foxton, a fair in which the majority of the records offered for sale were 78s, although a few of them were technically 80s, but I managed to resist the temptation to buy hundreds of them. There were many rare and consequently expensive records on offer. I looked hungrily at a John Lee Hooker 78 on Modern until I saw the price of it, £125, I think, but I did buy loads of good records at £1 a time. It's surprising how many of those old records have titles or descriptions that include words such as coon or nigger or darky that would be unacceptable today outside the world of hip-hop. When I lived in the States in the 1960s, it was a truism that racism was at its most objectionable in the South, whereas now, here in the UK, it seems to be becoming a northern phenomenon, although not obviously exclusively so. Which raises again the question, where does the North begin or the South end, and vice versa? And what about East and West? There's no doubt that Carl, who you just heard in Brighton, is in the South, but is Alan in Nottingham in the North? This North-South business is still causing low-level vexation. Well, it's vexing Michael Thompson anyway.